Good morning. This morning's verse is from Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 4 through 12. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat their produce, take wives and have sons and daughters, take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters, multiply there, and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are among you to deceive you and not listen to the dreams that they dream. For it is a lie that they are prophesying in my name. I did not send them, declares the Lord. For thus says the Lord, when the 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring back to you this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you.
In my first life, I was involved in the practice of architecture, and I wasn't all that creative. So I didn't do a lot of designing, particularly in the larger firms for which I worked. I was mainly involved in drawing the documents and writing the specifications for construction. So during the time I was practicing architecture, which was about 17 years prior to switching to ministry, I was involved with the drawing of many plans. And on many projects, I had the responsibility of not only drawing the plans, but also overseeing the construction of those plans. And overseeing, if you've ever been involved in that, overseeing construction was always eye-opening because it taught me that on many occasions, the details I had drawn didn't quite work in the field and had to be altered. As an architect, that kind of keeps you humble. The contractors always like to rub it in. I remember that. And it helped you to realize that you have to be flexible, because sometimes plans need to change. Before you start a large project, it's always helpful to, you know, make some plans, to think of how you're going to do it. Doesn't mean you have to draw it on a piece of paper, but you just need to think about it. Planning is important in a lot of areas of life, including the church. When you read God's Word, in fact, you discover that our God is a God who believes in planning. You know, Jeremiah, who was read just a minute ago, was a prophet who prophesied during the time the Jews were being deported to Babylon from the Promised Land just because of their unfaithfulness to God. He was punishing them. And in chapter 29, God asked Jeremiah to dictate a letter to the exiles. Terry just read that a moment ago. And in this letter, as you heard, he encouraged the exiles, beginning in verse 5, to live in Babylon like you would be living in the Promised Land. Build houses, plant gardens, eat the produce, get married, have children. And he also told them to seek the welfare of the city in which they lived, because their welfare would depend on the welfare of the city where they were living. And so God then warned them not to listen to their prophets, because their prophets were telling them, hey, this is only going to be for about 2 years, and then we're going to be back in the Promised Land. God told them in verse 10 that they're going to be there 70 years, not two. And he then told Jeremiah, as Jeremiah is dictating this letter, that after 70 years, he would visit them, he would fulfill his promise to them, he would bring them at that time back to their land, the Promised Land. And when God said what God said should sound familiar to you, as even Terry read it, Jeremiah 29:11. This is kind of a popular verse we hear today. "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." And so what that verse reveals is that God makes plans for his people. And that really shouldn't surprise any of us. I mean, he's the architect of the universe, and he had a plan for the salvation of the world before it was even created. Paul wrote to the Ephesians in Ephesians 1:4, that they were chosen even before the foundation of the world. And he has called them and you and I to help him fulfill that plan. And in order for you and I to successfully carry out his plan, you and I also have to plan. As someone once said, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. So God has plans that he wants to accomplish. And one of those plans involved the building of his church. Of course, Jesus had a major part to play in that, but so do you and I. In Ephesians 3:8-10, Paul wrote, "I am the least important of all God's people, but God gave me this gift to tell those who are not Jews the good news about the riches of Christ, which are too great to understand completely. And God gave me the work of telling all people about the plan for his secret, which has been hidden in him since the beginning of time. He is the one who created everything. His purpose was that through the church, all the rulers and powers in the heavenly world will now know God's wisdom, which has so many forms." So Paul reveals the plan to the Ephesians, which was to build the church in order to communicate God's wisdom to the world, which includes God's plan of salvation. God also planned to help the church carry out his plan by equipping the church with spiritual gifts. Ephesians 4:11, "And Christ gave gifts to people. He made some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to go and tell the good news, and some to have the work of caring for and teaching God's people. Christ gave those gifts to prepare God's holy people for the work of serving in order to carry out his plan." So God made plans for the church to be the vehicle to make God known to the world, and Jesus equipped his church to do it. But the Lord hasn't exactly explained how we're to go about accomplishing his plan. You know, he told you to go preach the gospel to the whole world. He told you to baptize them and teach them everything he's commanded you. But he didn't really tell you specifically how to accomplish that. So that means that you, members of the church, have to make some plans also. You know, how are you going to accomplish God's plan here in the United States of America, the state of Ohio, the county of Franklin, the city of Westerville, or wherever you live? You have to plan to accomplish the plan. And as been mentioned previously, on March 10th, we are going to have a ministry fair here. Now, there are not going to be any rides or games that I know of, but it's free, okay? And there will be a number of ministries that will be on display out here in this long hallway that represent plans that have previously been made here and that are currently being implemented to carry out God's plan. And the purpose of this ministry fair, of course, number one, is just to make everyone aware of what all's going on here, what all ministries we have going on, and to help you plug into one or two of them if you're not already. My dissertation project that almost ended my life was completed back in 2016, and it was basically about how to better manage ministries in the church. My project was born out of some of my church experiences in which certain ministries in the church had been ongoing for years, using up, you know, valuable resources, but no one ever evaluated whether or not that ministry was accomplishing that for which it had originally been created. In a number of instances, no one really had a good grasp of what it was supposed to accomplish or how successful it had been. So my project involved the establishment of goals, objectives, periodic evaluations to assess whether or not a particular ministry was accomplishing what it was supposed to accomplish, what it was created to accomplish. And if it wasn't, what were the reasons? Was it a lack of funding? Was it a lack of organization? Was it a lack of manpower? Was it a lack of leadership? Or had the church's vision changed? Was there a vision? Or did the community change in which the church existed? So today, the elders have chosen to share some plans with you. Aren't you lucky today? In order that you are kept informed of what the leadership team is thinking and proposing. Planning is important. But unless you are willing to support and implement those plans, they're not going to succeed, obviously. So I want to assure you that there is planning that goes into the plans. Okay? We don't make plans lightly, especially when it involves change, because we all know how you feel about that. But you know that the one thing that never changes is this change. Change is constant. And we understand that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But you know that the church today is not the same as it was in the first century. If you went back to the first century, you probably wouldn't even recognize the church back then. And the church in America is not the same as the church, for example, in South Africa. Just as an example. Because the culture in America is different than the culture in South Africa. And in certain ways, the church reflects the culture of its people, because the church is the people who create the culture. So when an idea or proposal is shared, for instance, in an elders' meeting, we discuss, we pray, we take time to think about it, we discuss it some more. There are a lot of players involved when you're dealing with a church. There are a lot of varying opinions, experiences, and even interpretations of Scripture. But I want you to understand that we love God and that we are committed to His church and His plans. We all want the church to bring glory to God. We want it to be healthy, unified. We want it to be vibrant. We want it to grow. But the truth is, the church is only as unified, healthy, and vibrant as its members. So a lot depends on you. We believe the words of Proverbs 16, verse 3, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. If we are not seeking His help in our plans that we make here, our plans will never succeed. This morning on your communication card, I want to encourage you to take one or all of the next steps. Memorize Proverbs 16, verse 3. Commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. Read Jeremiah 29, 1 through 14 and the plan that he had for the Israelites. And accept the work challenge this morning. Involve yourself in the work of God's church so that we can fulfill the plans that God has given to us. And if you don't know how you can do that, well, come to the ministry fair on March 10th, because that's when it's going to be held back here. Or see Robin, Caleb, one of the elders, one of the ministry leaders noted on the front of the bulletin. Any one of us can help you get plugged in and to get involved. So in a few minutes, we're going to conclude our worship. We're trying to conclude it a little early. We're doing pretty good. And then the elders and ministers will share some of the plans with you this morning. And the reason we're having this meeting on a Sunday morning is because that's when most of you are present. So it gives us an opportunity to connect with the majority of our members. Now we know, however, that not all of you came to be part of a meeting this morning. So we're going to give you about 5 minutes, kind of a 5-minute intermission at the end, after the closing prayer. So if you have to get to work or you have another appointment or you're a guest and you came to worship and not a meeting this morning, we understand. And you may take your leave after the closing prayer. We encourage, though, all of our members who can to please stay for the meeting, and guests are certainly welcome to stay if they would like to. So about 5 minutes after the closing prayer, the congregational meeting will begin. So right now, we're going to stand and we're going to sing a song, and then we'll have our closing prayer.